Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
I want to welcome you to our online Christmas celebration. Can you believe it? Christmas is just a few days away. You know, I hope that even with this pandemic and with the type of year that we've had, that you've enjoyed the Christmas season as best as possible. It is a pleasure that you are with us, and I want to thank you for joining us, and I just want to say Merry Christmas. Before we get into the message, I just want to put a little plug in here, and this coming Thursday on Christmas Eve, we are going to be having a candlelight service. If you're part of our Spanish congregation at La Iglesia, we're going to have an in-person service there. If you speak English and you want to join us in our Mission Hills campus, we are going to be there at 6:30. It's going to be a special time. If you don't feel comfortable, or if you feel sick or you're concerned, don't worry. We're going to stream live our service, so you're going to be able to participate. But we hope that if you feel comfortable enough, that you would come join us as we celebrate Jesus. You know, we're nearing the end of a series that we've called The Reason for Christmas. And in this series, we are seeing why Jesus came to earth. And more than why he came to earth, we're looking at the benefits, at the implications that his coming has for us. The first week, we looked at the fact that Jesus came at Christmas to reveal the true justice of God. And then the second week, we learned that Christ came at Christmas to be able to give us eternal life by showing us how to have a relationship with the Father. Last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus came on Christmas to reveal the truth. And today, we're going to look at the truth that Jesus came at Christmas to bring us peace. What do you say we pray before we jump into God's word? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, because we've made it to this at the end of this year, Lord. We know that it hasn't been an ideal year, but we know that you have kept us in your palm, Lord, that you kept us in your hand. And as we go into your word, we pray that it would be more than just mere knowledge. I pray, Father, that it would transform us, that it would fill our hearts with joy and peace. We are ready to hear your word, receive your word, and be transformed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Are you ready? Well, let's jump right in. You know, this week I saw a commercial on TV that is airing about a woman who comes into her house after a long day of work, and as soon as she opens the door, she finds chaos. The whole family is going full throttle. The children are running around, playing, and making all kinds of noise. Without the family noticing or being aware of her presence, she gets into her luxury car to try to find refuge and tranquility, to try to find peace. You know, I heard about a story about a couple from here, the United States, who moved to the Falkland Islands to try to find tranquility and peace. And only 6 months after they had moved to the islands, a conflict between England and Argentina began over the island. And the peace that they were looking for soon disappeared. See, the reasoning is that we think that if somehow we can find a secluded, a beautiful, calm place, that somehow we will find peace. And while it's true that a beautiful, calm place can provide a sense of peace, it is also true that it cannot provide lasting peace, that it cannot bring peace to our inner turmoil, to our inner issues, that there's still a inner unrest. And see, many have an outer appearance of peace. On the outside, it looks like everything is good and everything is calm and everything is great. In fact, when we ask the average person, hey, how are you doing? The likely answer that they give us back is, I'm well, I'm good. But the truth is that things are not well, that the things are not as good as they appear or as we profess. And see, there's homes that on the outside, they're beautiful. They look comfortable. They have heating and they have air conditioning. They have nice furniture. They're well decorated. They're well kept. But the people who live inside of them are experiencing fights, experiencing quarreling, experiencing domestic violence. Jeremiah said the following in Jeremiah 6:14. Look at what it says. I think it's so fitting in light of what we're talking. He says, all they ever offered to my people, to my deeply wounded people, are empty hopes for peace. Empty hopes of peace. I believe that that's what describes many people today. They are looking for peace. They are being promised peace, but they're empty promises of peace. It's empty hopes for peace. And see, the question now becomes, well, where can we find peace? Well, I want to tell you today that true peace is not found in a geographical location. That true peace is not found in the superficial. That true peace is not found in pretending that we're okay. Peace is something that Christ came to give you and to give me. And that's why Christ came at Christmas, to give us true, lasting, transforming peace. I love what Dr. Luke records in his gospel about Jesus. Why don't you read it with me? Look at what Luke 2:11-14 says. It says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah. And let me give you a little bit of context. Luke is telling us how the shepherds were watching their sheep and suddenly an angel appeared to them. And this is what he says to them. He says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, look at what they said, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Jesus came at Christmas so that we could experience true peace. And his peace is an incredible peace. It's an obtainable peace. It's a different peace from the one the world offers. God's peace is not just the absence of conflict or war. It is a true, lasting peace. And the peace that Christ offers us is much more than just a feeling. It's wholeness. It's rest. It's tranquility. It's a peace that can be experienced even in the middle of adversity, even in the middle of problems, even in the middle of difficulty. This peace is not conditional on circumstances, but exists despite those circumstances. And the reason that the peace of God can be experienced even in difficult times, even in spite of negative and hard circumstances, is because the peace that God offers us comes from God himself. So what do you say? You want this peace? Wouldn't you like your life to be defined, to be described, to be filled with this kind of peace? I believe that in the year that we've had and in the year that awaits for us, we're going to need God's peace. So if you want to have this peace, I want to share it with you. Three steps to lead you to receiving and experiencing God's peace. The first step to experience God's peace is to make peace with God. To make peace with God, to experience God's peace, we first need to make peace with God. See, every single person, every single one of us is at enmity with God. Why are we at war? Why are we at enmity with God? Well, because we're born with a disposition to please ourselves, to do our will, and not to consider or glorify God. The Bible called this a sinful nature. And this rebellious, sinful nature has put us at odds with God. So now the question becomes, well, how can we make peace with God? Well, Paul tells the church in Corinth how that can happen. And look at what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. And it says, and all of this is a gift from God. Keep that in mind. We're going to look at another verse that resonates with that first sentence. Who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. According to Paul, the way to have peace with God is through Christ. See, God is pure, God is holy, and he does not accept sin. And because of our sinful nature, because of our sin, because of our rebellious attitude, we are separated from God. But God, in his immense love, knowing that we couldn't approach him, knowing that we couldn't come to him, he sent a reconciler for us. He sent his son on Christmas. And see, Jesus, he pleased the Father in how he lived, and he fulfilled God's plan. Jesus, through his death on the cross and the resurrection on the third day, he allowed for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be justified, to be made right with God, because he lived and he obeyed God's plan for him. Paul tells the church in Rome, in Romans 5:1, he says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, on that first Christmas, that passage that we read in Luke, on that first Christmas, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, in verse 14, here's what the angel said. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. With those whom God is pleased. That's the opposite of being at odds with God. Peace with God is established with those who please him. So who are those who please him, Pastor? Who are those that can have the peace with God? Well, those who have received Jesus by faith as their Lord and their Savior. And I want to tell you that if you have received Jesus, that you have and you can experience peace with God. See, peace with God means that the enormous weight of guilt has been removed. Peace with God means that the shame that we felt over the poor choices and the sinful lifestyle disappears. Peace with God means that we have been purified, that we have been justified, and that we are being sanctified, and that we can have a relationship with God. Peace with God means that we have gone from creation of God to now children of God. Peace with God means that we can live without fear of death because we will live for all eternity with God. And peace, the peace of God, begins by first making peace with God through Jesus. But second, when you make peace with God, then that peace with God gives you access to the peace of God. And let me tell you that this is what we all want. We all want the peace of God. But that only comes after we have made peace with God. Look at what Jesus said in John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. See, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, through him, you make peace with God. But when you receive him, you also receive the peace of God, because the peace of God comes from Jesus. The peace of God is Jesus. And see, those that don't have Jesus Christ cannot have the peace of God. They have the world's peace, and Jesus definitely mentions that the world offers a type of peace, and it's a very temporary, superficial, weak peace. But they have the world's peace. They don't have God's peace. See, the world only offers external and temporary peace. And that is why many people seek peace in things. They think that somehow the abundance of good is going to give them peace and security, that if they have a bigger house, a newer house, that they'll have peace, that if they have a newer car, newer clothing, that if they have more stuff, that somehow peace will fill their hearts. But you can have the most luxurious things and not have peace. Others seek peace in distractions. They try to escape their problems. They try to escape their stress, their guilt, their shame, their circumstances. But distractions, they only give you temporary peace. They don't give you God's permanent peace. The peace of God, listen to this, is first and foremost an internal peace. It is the feeling of well-being, of order and rest in our hearts and in our minds. Look how the New Living Translation puts John 14, 27, that passage that we just read. It says, I am leaving you with a gift. It is a gift. Peace of mind and heart. You know, I have the habit of making time to reflect and just be with God. And recently, just a few weeks ago, I made time to do that, to just be still and reflect on my life, reflect on my choices, reflect on what's going on, and focus on God. And you know, as I was thinking about the type of year we had, and as I was thinking about the challenges I went through, and even the challenges that I'm going through, I was overwhelmed by the truth that there was peace in my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I've had issues. I've had trouble. I have need. One of my biggest challenges this Christmas is the fact that my dad is not with us yet. But you know what? In spite of those things, I wasn't afraid of what's coming next. I was actually excited because God's peace was my foundation. Because God's peace encouraged me. Because God's peace allowed me to have calmness, tranquility, wholeness, because he's with me. And see, you can experience that same peace. You can have the peace of God by first making peace with God and keeping your eyes on Jesus. Third, the third step is that the peace of God produces a better life. The peace of God produces a better life. We said that first and foremost, the peace of God affects us internally. But the peace of God doesn't just stop there. It begins there, but it doesn't stop there. The peace of God also improves the quality of our life. The peace of God makes our life better. Let me give you three reasons why the peace of God makes life better. Number one, the peace of God makes life better because it leads to peace with others. It is only when I have the peace of God that I can have peace with others. In fact, some of the reasons that marriages are not getting along, that parents are not getting along, that even we as a nation are not getting along is because we don't have the peace of God. We may have the knowledge of God. We may have the songs of God, but we are lacking the peace of God. See, the peace of God will lead us to reconcile, to have healthy relationships with others. If our heart is not healthy, if there isn't peace in our heart, if we are angry and hurt and bitter, it's going to be hard to reconcile with other people. See, hurt people tend to be rough, cutting, and aggressive. And it's very difficult to have peace with somebody that has that kind of attitude. But when we have peace with God, then we can have the peace of God. When we make peace with God, then we can have the peace of God. And the peace of God promotes unity with others. Look at what Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 2:16. He says, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. See, the peace of God makes life better because it leads us to reconcile with others. It leads us to have unity. And unity makes us stronger. Unity produces encouragement. Unity motivates. We achieve more when we're united. Blessings are increased. Greater are the benefits. And life becomes better when there's unity in our lives. Second, the peace of God makes life better because the peace of God is a peace that exceeds our understanding. Paul says in Philippians 4:7, he says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. See, there's three things that are constantly stealing your peace. Number one is negative circumstances, difficult circumstances like this pandemic, maybe the loss of a job or the death of a loved one. Those difficult circumstances, they steal our peace. But then there's also tough problems. There's obstacles that come and they stand in the way and they rob us of our peace. And third, people. There's people in our lives. When our marriage are not in harmony, when our marriages are not healthy, when we're not getting along with our family members, it's hard to have peace. And see, while those three things try to steal your peace, Paul says that the peace of God exceeds our understanding because the peace of God is above our circumstances. It's above our problems. It's above our relationship conflicts. See, the peace of God exceeds our understanding because the peace of God is not conditioned to any of those things. And in the midst of negative circumstances, you can have peace with God. In the midst of hard problems, you can have peace. In the midst of trouble in your relationships, the peace of God is available and accessible to us. How is it possible? How is it possible that the peace of God can fill our hearts and mind in spite of hard circumstances, difficult problems, or strained relationships? Well, because the peace of God is not produced by something you do. Let me say that again, because I believe the Holy Spirit is gonna drive that down to some of you, and some of you are gonna receive freedom right now. Listen to this. We can have the peace of God in spite of what's going on around us, because the peace of God is not produced by something we do. The peace of God is a gift, and it is received by faith. And when we receive it, Paul says that it will guard our heart and our mind. And life becomes better. Third, the peace of God is a peace that guides my steps. The peace of God will guide our steps. Look at what Colossians 3:15 says. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. You know, in life, the steps we take determine the path and the destiny of our lives. Success is determined by the choices we made, by the steps we take every day. And how can we know if we're taking the right steps? How can we know if we're walking in the right direction? Well, God has given us many tools to know if we are or not. And one of the tools is a spiritual radar that tells us if we're moving towards God's best of our life, if we're moving toward what's good in our life, if we're moving towards God's will in our lives. in that spiritual radar is the peace of God. And it is his peace that guides us. That verse that we read in Colossians 3:15 tells us that the peace of God must rule, must guide our hearts. See, our steps, our decisions are to be confirmed by the peace of God. Next time you need to make a decision, and every time you need to make a decision, we need to ask, do I have peace? Do I have the peace of God about it? I want to get married with so-and-so. Do I have the peace of God? I want to buy a house. Do I have the peace of God? I want to move out of state. Well, do I have the peace of God? See, the Bible doesn't give us specific instructions for every situation in life. It gives us precepts. It gives us guidelines. It gives us principles. It doesn't always give us the exact application for every situation. But the Bible does tell us that a guide has been placed in us, that a guide has been given to us to keep us on the right track. And God confirms our steps. God confirms the choices we make with his peace. And God's peace is a wonderful indicator of his will. His peace will guide your steps towards a better life. In conclusion, let me summarize. Christ came at Christmas to give us peace. And I think in 2020, we need his peace. And that peace, in order to experience that peace, we first need to make peace with God. And that's done through Jesus Christ. And when we do that, then that peace with God gives us access to the peace of God. And when we have the peace of God, it produces a better life in us. And I want to tell you that today you can experience that peace because of Jesus. And in these uncertain times, we need the peace of God. In these stressful times, you can have access to the peace of God. More than ever, people are dealing with depression. People are dealing with anxiety. People are abusing substances. People are doing foolish things, all because they lack peace. And maybe this Christmas, your tree's beautiful. Maybe you even have gifts under the tree. Maybe you even got a good Christmas bonus. But you would trade all that to have peace. To have peace in your marriage, to have peace in your heart, in your mind, to have peace with a loved one, to have peace about life. And I want to tell you that you don't have to go through this Christmas the same way you may have entered it, that Christ came at Christmas so that you could have peace. And I want to do two things. If you're a believer, if you already have accepted Jesus in your heart, I want to encourage you, put your eyes on Jesus, seek him, make time for him. Remember, he is God's peace. And when we spend time with him, when we honor him, we experience his peace. You know, it's really hard to be what Jesus is and experience all this stress and all this mess and all this anxiety. So if you're a believer, if you've already accepted Jesus, and you don't have peace, I want to invite you. Put your eyes on Jesus. Seek Jesus. In a couple of weeks, as we begin the year, we're going to begin with a fast. And maybe you don't need to wait till then. Maybe you can start now in some way. If you haven't made time to have a devotional, start doing that. If you're not praying, start doing that. If you're not connecting faithfully and regularly to our online services or attending in person, maybe you need to start doing that. Maybe the reason you feel so much stress is because you've distanced yourself from the Prince of Peace. But the second thing I want to do is pray for those of you that have not accepted Jesus, who are at odds with God because you haven't received the forgiveness of Christ. And it would be my pleasure to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus, to make Jesus your Lord. To receive him in your life so that you can have peace with God and the peace of God. And if that's you, I want to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. And I would love for you to say it out loud. You don't need to shout it, but make it audible so that it's something meaningful that you do. Would you repeat after me and say, Heavenly Father, I come to you because I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your truth. And I need new life. Forgive me for my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord. And from today on, I want to follow him and get to know him better. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you made that prayer, I want to congratulate you. I want to tell you that you are forgiven, that you now have peace with God, and that because the Holy Spirit, the presence of God lives in you, you also have the peace of God. We would love for you to get in touch with us and let us know that you made this decision. It would bring us so much joy to know that you did that, and we would love to be able to put a Bible in your hand, to be able to pray for you and encourage you, and be able to provide some other resources that can help you grow in your faith. We want to encourage you to stay connected to the church, to stay connected to God's people. It is in the church where you're going to be encouraged to keep following God, where you're going to be taught about Christ. So we are so glad that you made that choice. You know, before we let you go, I want to make a special prayer for all of us. I think that it goes without saying that our state here in California is going through something very tragic, something very chaotic. You know, at no time this year have I known so many people firsthand get the virus. And I'm sure that what's true of me is very likely true of you. And more than ever, we need the peace of Christ. More than ever, we need the peace of God. And I want to tell you that in spite of the chaos that's going on around us, that this Christmas, you can live and experience the peace of God. Allow me to pray for you. If you would receive this prayer, would you symbolically just stretch out your hands right there where you are? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come to you first and foremost with gratitude. Lord, this year may not be what we've wanted, but Father, you've kept us through this year. This year, we may have experienced things that we would like to undo, but you got us through those things, Lord. This year may have ruined some things for us. But Lord, I also believe that even in this year, you have revealed and given us things that we didn't plan for. So Lord, we come first and foremost with gratitude. We want to thank you, Lord, because maybe on a wing and a prayer, but we've made it this far. And Lord, in spite of all that's going on, we know that you're with us. So Lord, because you're with us and because we're your people, Lord, I pray that your peace would come upon every home. Lord, I pray for those marriages. I see marriages who are at odds with each other. They love each other, but they can't stand each other. And Lord, they need your peace. They think they've fallen out of love, but what they need is your peace. Father, I pray for those parents who are struggling with their kids. Father, they're worried, they're stressed, they don't sleep at night, Lord, and they need your peace. That you are in control, that you love their children more than they ever will. Father, I pray for those business owners. I pray for those, Father, who are at risk or maybe have lost their business. Father, I pray that your peace would come upon them. That, Lord, that they would know, that they would be reminded that you gave them that business. And that, Father, you've provided for them through that business, but that you don't need that business in order to provide for them, Lord. That you are not limited to how you can provide for us. I pray that your peace would come upon them. I pray for those individuals, Lord, who have a family member who is ill, who is sick. Father, I pray that your peace would come upon them. That they would know that life and death are in your hands. And that, Father, we pray for healing. But as Paul said, Lord, dying for us as believers is not a loss, it's a gain. So we pray that your peace would rule their hearts and minds, Lord. Father, I pray for the young people who are stressed by the pressures of this world, who are stressed by fitting in and wanting to know what to make of their life and the choices that they have to make. I pray that your peace would guide their steps, Lord. Father, may this Christmas, may we open, enjoy, and embrace the gift of peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, if this message has been a blessing to you, we want to encourage you to share it with somebody, whether you send them the link, you share it on social media, let it be a blessing to others. We hope you join us either in person or live Thursday as we have our candlelight service. May the peace of God guard your hearts and mind, and may his joy be your strength. We love you. Blessings.